IB English Radio. On Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Dear friends, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this program entitled Today's Special. We're going to speak about loneliness in Islam. First of all, let's see what date is today. Today, Saturday, is the 4th of Jamadiul Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of December, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to chapter Ar-Ra'd, verse 28. Of the Holy Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن
Those who have believed and whose hearts are assured by the remembrance of Allah, unquestionably, by the remembrance of Allah, hearts are assured.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Those who acknowledge the unity of Allah and accept His attributes and the prophetic mission of His Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and embrace whatever has been revealed from him, Allah, and their hearts are set at rest by the remembrance of Allah, allow Allah to soothe their hearts regarding Allah's blessings and rewards, with the thought of Him and of His grace. For Allah's promise is decisive as nothing, and nothing will soothe the hearts better than His divine promises. To remember Allah does not mean merely paying lip service to Him, for what counts is thinking of Allah in all circumstances, in particular at the time of committing sin.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine.
I feel lonely. What can I do? Feeling lonely is a normal thing and happens to everyone from time to time. In these instances, it is important to remember that you may feel lonely at this time, but you are not alone. It is important to combat this feeling head-on, since a repetition of this feeling could lead to depression and anxiety. Firstly, try and identify what is making you feel this way. There are many things you can do to boost your morale in order to combat this feeling. If it is low self-esteem, start keeping a self-gratitude journal. This keeps a record of all positive, rewarding, and pleasant experiences you can look back to every night to increase joy. Positive self-talk on a daily basis, as well as keeping company around you that is encouraging and motivating, can help your overall mood.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with loneliness and the dangers of loneliness and how to cure loneliness. Human beings, as social creatures, cannot stand loneliness. It's most probably because of this that those criminals who are really very dangerous, they may be sentenced to confinement. And this confinement, I mean, in which they have no associate, no partner, or no roommate, is regarded as a kind of punishment for them. This is because in all people, there's a sense of seeking pleasure in just talking with others or in communicating with other people. Now we find that everybody should have defined for everybody should have defined for themselves a certain high aim, and in order to reach that aim, one has to make the most of one's own best in order to reach that or those that aim or those aims. For example, those people who want to become very knowledgeable should spend most of time in studying books, in reading, for example, good books or books that would benefit them, or books that they find themselves very much interested in.
I don't know where my heart will take me, but I know your light will protect me from this fragile world.
We're gonna look at coping with loneliness. Accept that you are lonely. You can be the type of a person who doesn't like to socialize at large events, who is an independent, self-reliant personality, or who has experienced trauma and prefers to stay alone. This is completely okay. Yes, it's okay to be lonely. However, we all feel the need to belong and connect with others, and when this need is not met, we begin to experience the ache that is loneliness. Loneliness is a feeling, not a fact or a lifelong certainty. By realizing this and understanding how your brain computes feelings, we can move a step closer to accepting what we are experiencing. With true acceptance only can we then get into the right thinking space to deal with it. Sometimes, this true acceptance can mean facing your fears and stop running away from what we know deep down to be our true feelings.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, Hadiths of the Infallibles, Lessons from the Life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Now, the unexpected blessings of being alone. Believe it or not, we are all alone. In all of this, we realize that I'm not alone in being alone. We all are alone, even in an ocean of people. No matter who you are or how many people are around you. You are alone in what you are, answerable to the choices you make. The people around you may suggest or pressure you into specific choices, but you alone make the ultimate choice and bear the ultimate consequence of what these choices are. Everything from what you wear, who you trust, or how you plan your wedding is a result of your own choice. You're alone in society and in the sight of Allah as well. The aloneness is obvious when we do acts of worship that are individual, such as fasting, giving zakat, alms, and praying. But we are also alone in Hajj, even when surrounded by a million other Muslims. We are alone in that we have to consciously make the choice and intention to worship. We are alone in making sure we do Hajj in its true spirit.
When we examine some of the social ills that we have in our modern times, some of the difficulties that millions of people are going through, we will find that one of the greatest dangers today that is threatening our physical and psychological well-being is loneliness. In fact, loneliness is coined and termed as being the silent killer. You know, today in the West, especially in the United States, you will find that loneliness is killing more people than obesity, smoking combined, and lack of exercise. And we know these three are top killers. Smoking and how that ruins one's health, lack of exercise, and obesity. Today, official statistics are revealing that loneliness is claiming more lives. It has become more dangerous than these three combined, which is very serious. Some studies reveal that 40% of adults, 40%, admit to experiencing serious loneliness in their lives. It is very important for us, my dear brothers and sisters, to be aware of the dangers of loneliness. Because loneliness does not discriminate. No matter who you are, whether if you're from the high class, from the middle class, from other classes, whether you're rich, you're poor, whether you're famous or not, loneliness is taking a toll on everyone. On everyone, even those famous people.
Dear friend, thank you for joining us. This is the end of this episode of today's special. Inshallah, we'll continue this topic on the next episode. Be with us. Fi amanillah.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and on the eve of her birth anniversary, let us reflect on the words of Hazrat Zainab Kubra, peace be upon her, the granddaughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny when addressing the tyrant Yazid in his court in Damascus. The end of all tyrants is terrible, and God knows the misguided and the wrongdoers amongst you.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the fundamental concepts that we have in Islam, especially in the ethics, and especially even in the concept of mysticism, and even just as a normal moral trait, is the concept of giving thanks, shukr. The concept of shukr and the concept of giving thanks is abundant in the Holy Quran. Many verses appear in showing who the thankful are and what will happen to those who give thanks and so on and so forth. And also in the Holy Quran it is mentioned that you will never ever be able to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way that He is meant to be thanked. And in this tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that becomes clear. That one of the things that we as human beings should understand, that no matter how much thanks we give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not be able to truly thank Him for what He has given us. For if every single blessing requires a thanks, every single moment requires a thanks, that thanks then will require another thanks, and it will continue. This is actually one of the fundamentals in showing a human being his ajz and his weakness in terms of his Lord, that he needs his Lord in everything. And this creates a relationship between the servant and the Lord, between the slave and the master. That when a person truly understands that I have been given so much that I am unable to give thanks for what I have been given, I should at least use what I have been given in the right way. This is important. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said that every single breath you take necessitates an essential thanks from you. It is your livelihood. This oxygen that you have taken in requires a thanks. But the Imam continued, or rather 1,000 thanks or more. If you actually had to consider the single breath that you take, the amount of blessings, or put it in inverted commas, the amount of work that goes into just you being able to take in molecules of oxygen, it is fascinating. For example, just look at it very, you know, surface-like. You need your lungs, you need your lungs to work properly, you need the tube to go into your lungs, those small, you know, bronchioli that at the tip of your lungs, and so on and so forth. You need a blood vessel to take oxygen to the other parts of the body. Before that, in order for that oxygen molecule to actually be created, you need the sun, you need the trees, you need the ability of the tree to do photosynthesis, and so on and so forth. You can just sit here in this whole program, you can actually speak about the process for just that one molecule of oxygen to go into our bodies. And then you will realize that for every single one of this, I have to give a thanks, but I'm unable to. First of all, I'm unable to understand the whole process. There must be something I will not be able to understand. And even then, I will not be able to give thanks for everything. It is impossible for me as a human being to do that. So I give thanks in the way that is possible. And I give thanks knowing that my thanks is lacking. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to give through thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of our ability, inshaAllah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we're going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then, we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. In this part, we're going to have some scientists' comments regarding the Noble Quran. Alfred Kroner, professor of the Department of Geosciences at University of Mainz in Germany, who is one of the world's most famous geologists, has said about the Noble Quran, if you combine all these and you combine all these statements that are being made in the Quran in terms that relate to the earth and the formation of the earth and science in general, you can basically see that the statements made there in many ways are true. They can now be confirmed by scientific methods, and that many of the statements made in there at that time could not be proven, but now modern scientific methods are now in a position to prove what Muhammad said 1400 years ago. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Quraysh as well as Surah Al-Kawthar, recited by Sheikh Anwar Shahhat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله Yeah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to Surahs Quraysh and Kauthar by Sheikh Anwar Shahat. And now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of Tajweed. Let's begin with Surah Quraysh. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لإيلاف قريش. In the word لإيلاف we have مد البدل, which means that the cause of the مد, which is Hamza, is before the letter of مد, the ياء المد. لإيلاف قريش. The number of vowel counts of مد البدل is just like the مد الطبيعي, the normal مد, which means you have to lengthen it to two vowel counts. إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. شِتَاء, we have مَدُّ الْمُتَّصِلِ, lengthening to four or five vowel counts. وَالصَّيْفِ, وَالصَّيْفِ, the صَاد has تَفْخِيم at the second level. فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. We have Ra with Tafkhim in the word Rabb. الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ. In the word أَطْعَمَهُمْ, we have a Ta with a Sukoon on it, so we have to apply قَلْقَلَ. And to apply قَلْقَلَ, write whenever the articulator involved for pronouncing Ta touches the place of articulation of Ta, which is the tongue, the tip of the tongue, actually the head of the tongue. It retracts. أطعمهم. And we also have مد المنفصل in the phrase الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف. من جوع, we have إخفاء of نون ساكنة. This is how we apply إخفاء. We approximate the place of articulation of jim, and at the same time we make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. We have ilhar of nun sakana in min khawf. Nun is pronounced from its place of articulation, which is the head of the tongue. The head of the tongue touching the alveolar ridge, and at the same time blocking the oral cavity, the airflow in the oral cavity, and the sound coming from the nose. Now Surah Kauthar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna a'tainaka al-kauthar. We have Matul Munfasil at the beginning of this surah. Inna a'tainaka. So you have the option to lengthen this mad to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. Of course, if at the beginning of a recitation there was a matul munfasil, that's when you would have to decide how many vowel counts you want to lengthen matul munfasil. Okay, so this is the second matul munfasil in Anwar Shahat's recitation. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. We have Raz with Tafkhim. إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. أَبْتَرُ has قَلْقَلَ. Okay, that's it for today's program of Let's Recite the Quran. May Allah bless all of you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the noble Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners.
Welcome back to another segment in which we deal with some of the beautiful aspects and attractive nature of the Holy Quran, especially during the time of its revelation, during the initial invitation of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously he needed a means in order to call people towards the truth, towards his path, and the Holy Quran provided him with that so-called means to do so, because the Arabs of that time, especially those that were educated, would have understood that the Holy Quran is not something that comes from man. So in this story that is narrated here, it says that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came across a group of individuals from a tribe known as Banu Shayban. Now this tribe was a big tribe, an important tribe in the Arab Peninsula, as according to history. So anyway, the Holy Prophet goes to them and he invites them towards Islam. And he says to them, accept Tawheed, accept the oneness and unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accept me as a person who has been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide mankind. And the Holy Prophet tells him, assist me, be a place where I can find solace in, basically, be those individuals who will support me, and so on and so forth. And the Holy Prophet tells them that, look, the Quraysh have denied me, the Quraysh have stood up against me, and so on and so forth. And they have, denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah and that God who is in no need of anything, but is worthy of being worshipped and is worthy of being praised and glorified. Then the Holy Prophet recited for them the verse from Surah An-Na'am, the 151st verse of that particular surah. When the Holy Prophet recited that particular verse, two individuals, one by the name of Mafruq, who was an individual who was, well-groomed, very handsome individual, and he was very eloquent. He says that this verse and this what you have said is not from earth, it's not from this where we are now, it's something from the heavens. And he then, adds to it that if this was something from, the Arab Peninsula or from a normal Arab, I would have known, but this is not. Then one of his colleagues by the name of Muthanna kind of, adds and weighs into the argument that this is not something from an ordinary Arab or from an ordinary human being. Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after hearing this from these two individuals, seeing that there is an opening for him to take, as we know, the Holy Prophet was a person who was very opportunistic, but again, opportunistic in the good way, that he wished to take people at every opportunity towards the truth and towards felicity and sa'adah. What happened next, inshallah, in our next segment. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listener of Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, we invite you to listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
My dear brothers and sisters in Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tonight I want to look at the topic of the dua and introduce the dua, the supplication, as the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam have introduced it to us when they have told us beautiful statements such as a dua silahul mu'min, that the dua, the supplication that you and I make, this is the weapon of the believer. We don't have guns, we don't have WMDs, but we have the dua. And believe it or not, as we see tonight, hopefully in some of the examples, that the dua can change the fate of a community. The dua has the ability to change our predicament, our situation, if we believe in Allah. If we truly have belief and conviction in Allah, when we raise our hand in dua, whether it be on a Thursday night with dua kumail, or in Shahr Ramadan, or after the daily prayers, if we truly believe in Allah, and we truly believe that the dua can make a change in our lives, and we make a sincere supplication to Allah, and we follow it up with action, we will, God willing, see that there will be a change in the situation of the Muslim community, not only here, but across the world. So as I mentioned that dua is a key part of this verse of Surah Bani Israel, verse 24, where we're asked to make dua for our parents. رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. O Allah, have mercy on my parents, on my mother and father, as they brought me up and took care of me and nurtured me and taught me when I was a child. The first question is, what is a dua? This is a fancy Arabic word, which when we look in the dictionary, if you were to translate in English, a very simple word would be a supplication. It would mean to call upon somebody. And this is used in the Quran in many different ways. You have, for example, Prophet Nuh, peace be upon him, Prophet Noah, Shaykhul Anbiya. And he uses the same word dua in a different context, where he tells Allah, he says, Inni da'utu qawmi laylan wa nahara. He uses the same word dua, the same root word. And he says, I called upon my qawm, my nation, night and day to accept Islam. So dua, at the root meaning of it, one of the root words or the meanings is to call upon, to invite. When we use it in Islam, in Islamic terminology, when we say, for example, as Allah says in the Quran, Udu'uni astajib lakum, it means call upon me, ask Allah, talk to Allah, have a discussion with Allah, ask Allah what your needs are, and as Allah has promised, He says, astajib lakum, you call upon me, you speak to me. And guess what? Allah says, I will come back and speak to you. I'll respond to your call. We are, as a community of followers of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim wassalam, we are extremely blessed. You know, not only do we have du'as, for example, for every hour of the day, there are certain books of du'a that list du'as for every hour. 11 o'clock, there's a du'a. 12 o'clock, there's a dhikr. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. We also have du'as for every day of the week. So Monday, there's a special du'a. Tuesday, there's a special du'a. All the way down to Sunday. In addition to that, as we know, we have days of the week that are specially reserved for du'a. So Tuesday nights, the community gathers for du'a tawassul, for example. Thursday evening, we have du'a kumail, a beautiful way to speak to Allah through the words of the commander of the faithful. You look at Friday, there's dua nudba, dua samat. Saturday, there's special duas. Every month, for example, Shahr Ramadan comes. Every night we have dua iftita. To make it brief, we have so many du'as taught to us from Rasul and the family of the Prophet that they literally fill up multiple volumes of books. And the beauty of these du'as that we have, because you and I can talk to Allah in any language, let's face it, Allah doesn't just know Arabic. You can speak to Allah in English. You don't have to read Dua Kumail in Arabic every Thursday night. Read the English translation. Read the Urdu translation. Read whatever language you are comfortable in. Because Allah speaks every language. But the beauty is when we use the words of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, they're the most perfect of ways we can speak to Allah. Otherwise, we can talk to Allah in any word. You can open your hand, your heart to Allah after a daily prayer. And you can ask Allah for something in your language. Allah understands it. It can be accepted by Allah. But the beauty of the du'as of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is that they're not only asking us, or rather they're not only us asking Allah for something. Take an example of Dua Nudba that we recite on Friday mornings. If you honestly sit and read that supplication, and again, go to the translation if you don't know the Arabic, you will see that Dua Nudba is actually an entire course in Islamic theology. You want to know about the previous prophets and what their messages were? Dua Nudba speaks about it. You want to see what is the status of Amir al-Mu'mineen with Rasulullah? Open up Dua Nudba and look at how the words are mentioned that speak about the characteristics of the commander of the faithful. The dua is not just asking Allah for things. Almost every dua we have is a school in and of itself, I would say. It's a classroom in learning about Islam. As I mentioned a few nights ago, Dua Kumail. Read the entire dua from beginning to end. There's no mention of the Prophet or the Ahlul Bayt until the salawat at the end. The entire dua is about knowing Allah, recognizing Allah, developing a ma'rifah, this deep cognizance of Allah. So you'll see that these du'as that we have from the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, they're not all about, give me this, give me that, give me money, give me power, give me authority. No, it's about, give me knowledge of this religion. Let me recognize who my God is. Let me understand who my Prophet is. Let me know who the Imam is of my time. And so when we look at the du'as from the Ahlul Bayt, we look at them in that light, we see that they're not only about taking from Allah, but it's also to get knowledge about this religion. Now one of the things that comes up that people have asked, they've asked the prophets of the past, they asked Rasulullah this question, that we all as Muslims, we believe that Allah is Al-Aleem. He knows everything. Allah is Sami', Basir. He is all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing. He's omniscient, omnipotent. Allah knows everything. Allah says in the Quran that we are closer to you than your jugular vein. نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. If Allah created you and I, Allah knows my niyyah, my intention. Allah knows me better than I know myself. Then why do we even bother making dua? We could just say, well, Allah knows what I need. He knows I need a job. He knows I need a spouse. He knows I want children. He knows I need food. I need shelter. I need security. I need comfort. Why do I even make dua? I can just go on with life. Allah knows what's in my head. It's a valid question that people have asked. People have asked Rasulullah the question. People have asked the Imams of Ahlul Bayt the question. And just one response that we would get from the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, is that yes, Allah knows what you and I want, what you and I need, what you and I desire in life. But Allah wants to hear His servant articulate their needs. Otherwise, Allah knows everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. Nothing is veiled from Allah. But He wants to see that are we truly asking Him for those things. That's just one of the hadith we have. There are multiple hadith that speak about the rationale of why we ask Allah. Another aspect, however, before I move on, is that we're told in the hadith that when we ask Allah for something, although Allah knows it, but it puts our heart at ease. It makes us realize, okay, I've asked Allah, He knows my need, now let me just wait for Him to respond to me. I'll give it some time, I'll fulfill the qualities, the characteristics, the requisites of a dua, and eventually Allah will give me what I need, whether it's here or in the world to come.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Halim Hakimun Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Answering the doubts and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs
الله هو إذا الرحمن الله هو إذا المنان
لا إله إلا
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode from series of Q&A on Islamic beliefs from IRIB English Radio. If you have been following this series of sessions and shows, we have been talking about different questions and misconceptions concerning some Islamic issues, and the respected guest speakers and guests of this show will try to provide us with some answers. Today, again, like always, we have invited Sheikh Murtada Karimi, researcher from Qom Seminary Schools, to answer the questions that we pose in this first session. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam and thank you for having me.
Thanks for accepting the invitation. Okay, Sheikh, the question of the day again is